The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Beyond the Bermuda Triangle, True Encounters with Electronic Fog, Missing Aircraft, and Time Warps, authored by Bruce Gernon and Rob McGregor. This is an archived interview with Bruce Gernon. He's the world-leading expert, author, and renowned researcher and theorist for the Bermuda Triangle. He's published 4 books and appeared on multiple television documentaries, episodes for Discovery, Science Channel, BBC, ABC, and the Travel and History Channel.
I think what I was seeing was the fabric of time, physically seeing time.
Beyond the Bermuda Triangle, my guest Bruce Gernon is on the line. This stuff that we're talking about happens and it catches your attention, makes you question your sanity. Is this happening? Is it a dream? Is it in between? I've done lucid dreams. I've done out-of-body experiences. I've had ghost experiences. I've had conversations with people who told me that they are still alive. They just don't happen to have a body. It wasn't something I immediately decided, oh, this is a great idea. I'm going to tell everybody. No, it took about 20 or 30 years. Okay. But that also gave me that time, that distance, that waiting, a chance to investigate and explore thousands of other stories, thousands of other instances where these things are happening. The Bermuda Triangle. Bruce Gernon, he's known for his experience with electronic fog. Thank you. I really appreciate the information you put in this book.
Hey, Wendy, yeah, well, thanks for having me on your show.
Because you are a pilot, having flown in that area, you bring a whole different sense of awareness to this equation that says there's something else going on here than just a triangle.
Yes, I've been flying in that area of the Bermuda Triangle for 50 years now. But I've recently retired from flying, though, because my depth perception is, and my vision is not nearly as accurate as it used to be. When I had this main experience, my vision was actually 20/10, so I could see things that most people couldn't even see.
And I think that's why you were the perfect person to have this experience.
Yes, it was an incredible experience. But my dad was with me. He was a pilot, too. He was the co-pilot, and we had a business partner with us, too.
So it wasn't just you out there imagining a bunch of stuff. You had witnesses.
Yeah, they worked with me right up to their deaths, always backing me up in my research.
That's the fantastic thing about this, is that you've done some tremendous math and homework. And if you're listening, Bruce Gernon, author, co-author of Beyond the Bermuda Triangle, True Encounters with Electric Fog, Missing Aircraft, and Time Warps. You also have a website. The website is the Electronic Fog, electronicfog.com. I want to get into the story so you can set it up the first time that you had this experience and how that shifted your focus in life. Okay, is that a good way to set it up?
The shift took a long time, though, but you're talking about a lot of time.
The first time it happens is like an, oh, wow, what the heck do I do moment, and you kind of put it on the back burner. And then you come back to it when you feel sane, and you feel like, well, okay, maybe I can investigate this and not feel like I'm off my rocker. Does that set it up better?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, after I experienced it, I didn't even mention it to anyone for just over a year because it was unexplainable. But I kept it in my mind, and every day I would think about it at least twice a day for like 15 minutes or so. I'd concentrate on what I experienced. So I did that for just over a year, and I kind of created a permanent memory of what it visually looked like in my mind. I watched a TV show, a Dick Cavett show, and a scientist named Ivan Sanderson was talking about a strange area. It wasn't even called the Bermuda Triangle then. I think he called it the Limbo of the Lost. He mentioned that it had something to do with time or time warps or space-time travel. And that's when I realized that was the key to my experience, and I was better able to explain it when I started researching time and how it works and what it did to me on that experience.
What I'd like you to do is set up that story. What happened with you in that plane when all of a sudden it didn't make any sense and it went beyond anything you before had experienced?
December 4th of 1970 that I experienced this. So I've been researching it for all these years. And if there's any pilots out there that are listening, I would like them to listen carefully to what I have to say, because it's especially important for pilots to understand what I'm explaining about what I call electronic fog. They could experience it themselves someday. If they haven't heard of this, they should listen to it and try to understand it, because it's for real, and it's been a problem with convincing mainstream science. But I can guarantee it will be accepted in the future, because you know I experienced it firsthand. I've experienced it twice. It's rare, but there's hundreds of pilots that have experienced it, and I've talked to them, most of them.
What happened?
Well, I had been flying in the Bahamas for about 6 years before this happened, and so I was already thoroughly familiar with the area. We were working on a project to develop in Andros Island, and I had flown there about 12 or 13 times before on a round-trip flight from Palm Beach International in Florida. We'd go direct to Bimini and then make a slight turn to Andros. And we would go to an airport called Fresh Creek. And that's where there was a Navy base. It's a scientific Navy base that works with RCA on the development of submarines and torpedo warfare that they practice in what's called the tongue of the ocean, which is a deep area of 6,000 feet in between Nassau and Andros. It's about 30 miles wide, 100 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
We had spent a few days there, so it was a Friday morning. We were heading back, or planned on heading back in the morning to Palm Beach, and it was raining. And so there wasn't any telephones back in 1970 on Andros Island. So we couldn't really get any weather reports. And so we waited for the rain to clear out. And I've investigated the charts, the weather charts from that day in modern times, and it showed that there was a huge area of storms covering the entire island of Andros, which is the biggest island in the Bahamas. It's 40 miles wide and 100 miles long. It finally started to clear up, but on the weather charts, yeah, there were some widely scattered storms around South Florida, and then just the one big area of storms over Andros. So it started letting up in the afternoon, so we went ahead and took off. Exactly 3 p.m. is when we lifted off.
Mm-hmm.
Time was very important back then, too.
Yeah.
Watch your time and your watches. We all had wrist watches, and there was a watch on board the airplane on the panel, a real quality watch. And so we climbed to 1,000 feet because it was overcast at 1,500 feet. And I was flying in a brand new Bonanza A36 aircraft, which is still made today. The airframe is still identical. And it's one of the best single-engine propeller airplanes made. And we stayed over the interior of Andros for 10 minutes at 1,000 feet, and we're cruising about 180 miles an hour. And when we got to the western shoreline of Andros, and that's where the shallows of the Great Bahama Bank ties in with the island, and I could see that it was clear over the ocean. So that looked good. And when we got to the shoreline, I was able to start ascending to our assigned altitude of 10,500 feet. But as I looked in front of me, I saw this strange cloud that it didn't look that strange. It looked like a typical lenticular cloud, which is a lens-shaped cloud with smooth edges.
Mm-hmm.
But what was strange, and I really didn't think about it at the time, was that it was like hovering about 500 feet above the ocean. And it was about a mile long and a half mile wide, 1,000 feet thick, and it looked harmless. But see, lenticular clouds, they normally only form at like 20,000 feet or so. And this was down real low, so that was odd. It looked harmless, and it was right directly in my flight path. I'm using instruments, electronic instruments in the compass, to fly direct to Bimini. So I flew right over the cloud, and then when I got enough altitude, a few thousand feet, I was able to contact Miami Radio, it was called. Well, they still call it that today. And they gave me a weather report, and they said it was just some widely scattered storms over Florida. I should be able to circumnavigate to get to Palm Beach. And it was clear in the Bahamas. And I filed my flight plan with them. That took a few minutes, and so I wasn't really concentrating on that little lenticular cloud anymore. So then when I signed off the radio with them, I looked around checking the weather, and I couldn't believe what I'm seeing here. The lenticular cloud apparently had spread out, and it had spread out at an incredible rate. And it was right below the airplane, and I thought, well, maybe it's a cumulonimbus thunderstorm, and I just happened to be climbing right over it, right at its birth stage, and I'm climbing at 1,000 feet per minute, and it's ascending at the same rate as me. And another thing I didn't realize is that how fast this thing was spreading out. And I'm climbing 1,000 feet per minute, but I'm going forward at 105 miles an hour. And I didn't think of it at the time, but this cloud is going faster than 105 miles an hour. And that's what's really unusual for a cloud to expand that rapidly. And it would build up and engulf the airplane, and I'd go inside it, and visibility was very low, maybe only 100 feet. And then since it was building up, upward, it would boost me, and I'd escape it and get above it, a couple hundred feet or so, and then it would catch back up to me, and I'd go back in. So this went on for about five more times until finally, when I got to 11,500 feet, I broke free of this cloud, and I was in clear weather over the Great Bahama Bank, so I leveled off, started cruising at 195 miles an hour, and when I looked on either side of me, it was incredible what I was seeing here. This little lenticular cloud had spread out on either side of me as far as I could see, which was over 10 miles on either side, and an unusual thing about it, I noticed it had like a perfectly symmetrical curve to it. I figured it was a squall. It had turned into a squall instead of just a little singular cell thunderstorm. And but the strange thing was how symmetrical it was. But anyway, as I started to fly away from it, and I put it out of my mind and concentrated on our flight path, which is still direct to Bimini. And then after only about three, 4 more minutes, I look in front of me, and now I'm seeing this storm was in front of me now. And again, it was perfectly curved. This time, though, the curve was facing in front of me instead of behind me. And then I was thinking, well, maybe I can fly under it. And then I noticed that I couldn't fly under it because it was laying right on the surface of the ocean. And it had built up now to probably over 40,000 feet. In that short a period of time, it was I'd only been in it for like 14 minutes at that time, and it had spread out that far and that high.
Bruce Gernon, Beyond the Bermuda Triangle, True Encounters with Electronic Fog, Missing Aircraft and Time Warps. Bruce's website, electronicfog.com. A quick break.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Electronic fog. I think there are some connections. Experiencer John Foster has drawings of contact experiences that include craft and ETs where they appear in clouds or from a cloud or fog. Some of the missing persons cases that David Politius covers in Missing 411 also include mentions of fog. Bruce Gernon describes the experience he had with the electronic fog.
And so I penetrated into it, and it was just full of intense electricity. There were flashes of electricity. There weren't lightning bolts. And the deeper I went, the more intense the flashes became, and the brighter they became, and the darker it became when they were not flashing. So it was kind of spooky, so I decided to pop out of it. So I made a sharp turn to the south, to the left, and got back out into the clear. Started traveling along the edge of the storm. I contacted Miami radio at this point, and I told them that I was deviating from my flight path because of a storm. Mm-hmm. I was going to see if I could fly around it. And they said, okay, great, no big deal. Let us know when you get around it. So I'm flying south, and I noticed that this curved storm continues to curve, and so apparently it's connected to this squall that I had just escaped. And so now I'm realizing I'm kind of like trapped inside this donut-shaped storm. I call this storm a mother storm. It creates this electronic fog. Then I notice that there are two ends of the storm that they met on the bottom, but there was like a big valley in between them. And so apparently the storm had formed just offshore of Andros and then had spread out in a donut shape, and it met on the opposite side about 40 miles away. And the valley was closing. I figured, well, that would get me to Miami because it was named, the opening was facing toward Miami. Mm-hmm. There's some photos in my new book that shows some clouds over the Everglades that are similar to this. It shows how they can connect on the bottom, and then two anvil heads will form on either end at the top, and then those anvil heads meet and they form a tunnel. Mm-hmm. So I have an actual photograph of some tunnels in my new book that I took way back in the late 70s, and they were over the Everglades. So these tunnels are unusual because they're perfectly horizontal. So maybe some of the pilots that are listening have seen these tunnels before. I've seen dozens of them from the ground. They usually last only on an average of about 3 minutes. And so I didn't realize that at the time, that they didn't last that long, because it was close to 1,000 feet in diameter, but it was about 10 miles long, though. And I figured, well, I could fly through that. And I consulted with my co-pilot, and my dad said, yeah, let's go ahead and see if we can get through it. I guess he felt the same way as me. We were trapped inside this big storm, mm-hmm. and this was like the only way out. So I was at 11,500, and the tunnel was right around at 10,000 to the center of it. So I started aiming down, descending, and I'm watching it, and it's slowly getting smaller. And so I go to full power and up to 130 miles an hour, and then I penetrate right into the center of it. And that's when something incredible happened. When I penetrated into the center of this, these strange lines form. And you can see it on the cover of my new book, Beyond the Bermuda Triangle. An artist has done a nice rendering of what it looked like just as I was inside the tunnel. On Amazon.com, we've got a new book. It's my first book. Was called The Fog. That was in copyright for like 11 years. Now it's out of copyright, so I own it. And that one's printed in seven languages. The new revised book is called Bermuda Triangle Legacy. And you can see it on Amazon if you want to look at the cover. Mm-hmm. And that shows what it looked like when I made it out of the other end of the tunnel. And that's an artist's rendering of that, too, combined with computer graphics that I helped create.
Well, it's nothing like you would ordinarily see.
No, I think what I was seeing was the fabric of time, physically seeing time.
When you finally got to the end of your journey, how much time? What was the difference?
It depends on how you look at it, but I mean, it's at least 30 minutes. See, when I entered this tunnel, it should have taken me 3 minutes to reach the other side. But it only took about 20 seconds, because that's where the time change was starting, right inside this tunnel. Mm-hmm. And then when I made it out of the other end of the tunnel, the wingtips scraped the edges of it, and contrails formed, and I felt the only real physical sensation during this event that was unusual was this strange feeling of zero gravity combined with hydroplaning forward. And I've never felt that before. I felt zero gravity hundreds of times, but not with a combination of hydroplaning. So it was a very strange sensation that lasted almost 10 seconds. And then when I look back behind, expecting to see the tunnel, I watch it collapse right behind us. Mm-hmm. And then it was rotating clockwise as I looked at it, because it was rotating counterclockwise as I flew through it. I was expecting to be in the clear blue sky that I was aiming for, but that instantly disappeared. And this is where my theory of the electronic fog comes in. It had attached itself to our aircraft. And it took me like 30 years of research to realize finally that I wasn't flying through this fog. I was flying with it. It was attached to us. And that's why everything looks so strange when you're in it. You know, if you're a pilot and this happens, you may think, oh, I'm entering a haze. Well, it may not be a haze. It could be like a weaker variety of this electronic fog. Mm-hmm. Or if everything looks blurry, though, then you're in a stronger area of this electronic fog that can affect time and space. And that's what was going on. while I was in this fog for 3 minutes, and I was able to contact Miami radio. I told them I was about 90 miles east of Miami. And I can't remember exactly what I told them, but they could tell there's something wrong going on. So they tried to help me and locate me, and I was using my transponder to help them locate me, but they couldn't find me on radar, so they were no help at all. So it was a little bit scary at that point.
Yeah, your dad, you said your dad was at that point like a little bit more frantic.
Yeah, he kind of went into a state of panic. He grabbed a microphone from me and started yelling at the controller. And I had to grab it back from him, calm him down.
So you are, at this point, dad's panicked. He's already decided something's really wrong. You know something's wrong. Where do we go from there?
Well, I kind of used my mind to steer the airplane because none of the instruments were working for navigation. And our partner in the backseat, he became totally nauseous and was slurring all his words and couldn't understand a word he said.
Mm-hmm.
So it can affect people. It can make people pass out. It can make them nauseous. Or the worst thing, it can make or create spatial disorientation, which has happened to many, many pilots. And they end up in a graveyard spiral because they're so confused. Their instruments aren't working. They don't realize they're flying with this fog, not through it. And so then the 3 minutes in this fog go by, and then the radar controller comes on the microphone, and he's really excited. He says he's got an airplane directly over Miami Beach. I look at my watch, and I've only been flying for 30 minutes. I said, no, that's impossible. I told him I'm probably maybe 80, 85 miles east of Miami. He says, are you sure? And then another incredible thing happened. He slipped. Formed all around the airplane, parallel to the plane, our direction of flight.
Mm-hmm.
And within 10 seconds, the slits opened up, and I could see the clear blue sky through the slits. And within 10 seconds, all the slits were gone, and I was in just crystal clear blue sky, and there's Miami Beach right below me.
Wow.
So I looked behind me expecting to see this huge fog bank, and I had just escaped. And it was clear for over 10 miles visibility. There was no fog bank. And, of course, I didn't realize that it was attached to me at that time. We signed off, and I went to Palm Beach International and landed.
Mm-hmm.
And the flight only took 47 minutes. And I had made that flight over a dozen times before, and it always took more like 90 minutes. So there was 30 minutes time somehow that... gained somehow. I got ahead of time.
Why did it let you go?
Well, I believe it was because I was transitioning from a large body of ocean water to a large body of land, and the atmospheric change as I traveled over the land from the water made it electronically detach from the aircraft. So pilots should keep that in mind if they're ever over a large body of water and this fog attaches to them and they can't escape it. Just make one turn and make that turn direct to a large body of land and it should detach. And just the opposite can happen, and it happened once to me over the Everglades. If it attaches to you over a large body of land, make just one turn and make that turn toward a large body of water and it will detach from you, just like it did for me when I encountered this fog back in 1996 for the second time.
Reading that this can also happen on land when you're walking, and this fog can approach you and you can see it almost like it's tracking you. That story is also worth a look. You have collected a lot of stories since you've been telling yours. What do you want people to take away from this?
Well, I want to thank everybody for writing to me and telling me about their experiences, and I've put them in the book. Some of them, like you said, are pretty incredible in themselves. And I just want, the main thing is for pilots to realize this, because the airplanes are the most unforgiving part if you're caught in this fog. Someday, mainstream science, that's my goal, will recognize this and in the future, it'll help us to go to other stars.
Bruce says he actually wrote Stephen Hawking about his experience, and Hawking replied. He sent him a copy of the lecture he gave in 1995 called Space and Time Warps. Bruce Gernon, Beyond the Bermuda Triangle, True Encounters with Electronic Fog, Missing Aircraft and Time Warps. For more information, check out his website, electronicfog.com. Thanks for listening.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.